Hare Krishna. Came ultra. So that's also part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. Don't stay in the city, go to the earth. Worship Mother Earth, worship Father Vishnu. Farms, course. Someone has to preach in the city also. But if we preach enough, then everyone will go to the farm, and then we can have nice cities like Krishna lived in Dwaraka. Most people, not in the city. So, okay, there's a place called Varaha Kshetra in Nepal, near to place called Dharna. That's where Lalit Krishna is in that area. Not Lalit, Lalit Madhava. He's in that area. So that is supposed to be the place where that's the place of Varaha killing Hiranyaksha. That's where the Leela took place. Well, how is that possible if they were fighting? The earth was being fought over, not on the earth. And Varaha was so big that he picked up the earth. So how could it be that there's a place where he killed Hiranyaksha? Well, you could say the same thing about Vamana Leela. The place of that is Bhrigu Kach, Bharuch, on the bank of the Narmada. In Shastra it says this, Dali Maharaj was performing sacrifices on the bank of the Narmada and Vamana came. But that was in the heavenly planet. So how was it in Gujarat? Or same thing, at Ahobilam is supposed to be the place where Nrisimha killed Hiranyakashipu. But Hiranyakashipu was on the Indralok. He took over the Indralok. So how is it? We can say that these places, they are spiritual facsimiles of the place where it was done. So it's non-different, manifested on this earth. It's not that it's not true. According to the archaeologists, the earliest Varaha images are found in Mathura, ancient center of Vishnu worship. And if we go, there are many in different parts of India, ancient forms of Varaha on coins also. Some of the kings, they used to keep, just like in Thailand up to the present time, all the kings, they have the name Rama. So there was one dynasty in India. Where's that going back? Oh, going back more than a thousand years, where all the kings took the name Varaha. So Varaha was connected with royalty. Because after all, the boar is a very strong animal, very ferocious fighter, dangerous, very independent, very difficult to kill. So in that way, the Varaha was considered the regular boar, the ones that we see in this world, they're considered to be a symbol of virility. And Varaha Dev avatar was considered the proper form for kings. Kings should be like, nowadays if you say to someone, you're like a pig, or son of a pig, then that's considered a big insult. But at one point, it was, that was considered something very noble and strong, if you can be strong like a boar. There are still many old temples where you can see at Mahabalipuram. That's called Mamallapuram in Tamil. Mahabalipuram. Mamallapuram is the British, they called it. No? Oh, I see. Okay. So there's a form of Varahadev holding Bhudevi. Generally, she's shown as very small, but in the not in as the goddess, holding, sitting on the lap and looking at her with lot very affectionately. So there are many, many forms all over India. There are different temples and different places. Some of the temples are ruined and not worship is not going on, very old. Hampi, you'll find. The main one, or the most important one you could say, is Adi Varaha Kshetra, the original place of Varaha. Where's that? Anyone? Tirumala. That is originally his place. It's not Venkateshwar's place. He's a tenant. It's a long lease, but he is. The place belongs to Varaha. And there are different stories about that. One story is that after Vishnu was kicked by Bhrigu, Lakshmi left him. She's never supposed to leave him, but she did this time. She came down to the earth and she saw this place, very nice place. I think I'll live here. It's the place where Varaha lives. So that's Varaha Kshetra. Then he came down looking for her. He also thought it's a very nice place. I'd like to stay here. But he had to take permission from Varaha. Varaha said, okay, but there's a condition that people are going to worship you, but they should worship me first. So that's still going on. Before Venkateshwar is worshipped, Varaha is worshipped, and I don't think so many people follow this nowadays, but you're supposed to first worship Varaha. You're supposed to go to... The temple of Varaha was made by Sri Ramanujacharya, and you're supposed to go there. First of all, you're supposed to walk up the hill. Not many people do that nowadays. Then take a bath in the Pushkarini, then worship Varaha, and then go in line. But nowadays with this computerized darshan system, it might be difficult to synchronize all that stuff. Another version is that at the end of Satya Yoga, devotees requested Varaha to stay on the earth. Remember that Varaha is Yajna Varaha. And in the Treta Yuga, which comes just after Satya Yuga, that's when the Yajna system of Yajnas is introduced. So devotees asked him, you please come down to the earth now. So Varaha, he told Garuda, okay, well you take my garden, which is called Kriyarachala, his place, you bring it down to earth. And he put it there on that spot. And then, And Varaha is worshipped in three forms there, as Adi Varaha, Pralaya Varaha, and Yajna Varaha, although all the worship goes to Adi Varaha. There are other famous temples of Varaha Dev. There are many, many throughout India, actually. But they're mostly old and worship isn't going on. One form is Bhuvaraha Swami in Sri Mushnam, which is near to Chidambaram. That's one of the Divya Deshams visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Lakshmi, Bhuvaraha are worshipped. That temple was built, the present temple was built in the late 16th century. But Varaha there is Swayambhu, so it means that worship has been going on who knows how long, longer than the modern historians believe that there was any civilization, what they would call prehistoric. So that's Shvetavaraha form, with Sheshnag serving as an umbrella, and it's stated there that all the festivals, if one is stated on the wall, on the Prakaram, if all the different festivals, if you follow all the different benefits you get from that. Now, that temple, there are Muslims living in that area there, and they also they refer to the deity there as Sahib Varaha, and they also worship him. And especially once a year, there's a festival of taking the Utsav deity to the sea, and they immerse him in the sea because it's just close to the sea, because the water, Varaha, and the Muslims also participate in that, because they don't go in the temple, but they participate in that festival. I mentioned Lakshmi Varaha Narasimha temple, Varaha in Hampi, at Mahabalipuram, at Tiruvananthapuram, there's a Varaha temple. In Rajasthan, there's a Varaha Shama temple. Within the Kamakshi Aman temple in Kanchi, there's Adi Varaha Paramal. Other Divya Deshams in Tamil Nadu, at now you're going to, Tamil people are going to have to excuse me for my pronunciation here. At Tirukalvanur, Tiruvidandai. So there's a Swayambhu in West Bengal also. In Muradpur, I don't know where that is. There are also Varaha temples in Andhra Pradesh, Haryana. Oh, important place of Varaha, ancient place of Varaha worship is at Jajpur, which is a place of Yajna. That is actually Yajpur. So, but Oriya pronunciation is Jaj. So it's Yaj means Yajna. That was a very important place of Yajna, and still it's an important place of pilgrimage. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited there, and it's widely believed that, especially in Orissa, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descendants came from there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited his relatives when he went there. The Mishras from Jajpur went to Srihatta, which is now Shilet, in Assam, which is now part of, it's actually officially Assam, but it now is part of Bangladesh. And then from there, Jagannath Mishra came, and Nilamba Chakravarti came, and Nimai was born in Nadia. But his forefathers are from Jajpur. So that's an important place. At Pushkar, all over, there are many temples of Varaha Dev. Apparently, Varaha worship was much more widespread and prominent previously. It appears so from there being so many temples throughout India. Especially kings would build temples for Varaha. And some theory is there that because the Muslims, they don't like pigs. They considered it very haram. That's mentioned in some Purana. I can't remember which Purana. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's quoted there. That they consider pigs to be haram, which is something very bad. So it's mentioned in one of the Puranas that one Yavan was being killed by a pig, which for a Muslim is the worst way to be killed. Maybe being killed by Hindus worse, according to them. So he said haram, which means something bad. So he said the name Ram as he was dying, and he got liberation. As to show the power of the holy name. So India was much affected by the Muslims in many ways. The architecture, dress style, Especially in South India, people would never wear any sewn clothes, or they wouldn't. Men would be, especially men, would be without anything on their chest. But they picked up a Muslim style of salwar kameez and all this kind of thing. So it may be because the Muslims considered the pig unclean, or maybe because another possible reason is that because the kings themselves declined, so Varaha worship declined. Now, Yajna Varaha, in the Bhagavatam, there are two verses in which Varaha is described as Yajna Varaha. The demigods and rishis pray, Rupang tavaitan nanu dushkritat manang durdarshanang devi yad advarhat makam chandangsi yasya twachi barhi roma svajyang drishi twangrishu chata hotram. O Lord, your form is to be worshipped by the performance of sacrifice. So this form, he's called Yajna Varaha for various reasons. One reason is that he teaches sacrifice. Another is that particularly this form is to be worshipped by sacrifice. Vishnu is to be worshipped by sacrifice, but particularly this form. So, and then his body is composed of the elements of sacrifice, as will be described. The souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see that form. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others, are in the touch of your skin. So, but the Vedic mantras are meant for saying in yajnas. In your bodily hairs is kusha, kusha grass. So kusha grass is essential for yajna. In your eyes is the ghee. And in your forelegs are the four kinds, here it's described as four kinds of fruitive acts. Chato hotram, four kinds of materialistic fire sacrifices. Shuktunda asit shruva ishanasaya irodare chamasa karnarandhre prashitram ase grasane grahastute yach charvanang te bhagavan agnihotram. O Lord, in your tongue is the shruk, in your nostril the shruva, and in your abdomen the plate for eating. In the holes of your ears is the cup called chamasa, in your mouth is the brahma plate, in your throat are the soma vessels, and in whatever you chew is the oblation to the fire. So this is all paraphernalia for sacrifice. Shruk is the long spoon or ladle, which has, yeah, it's like a ladle. It's a spoon with a deep depression, half a globe. That's why the coconut, half a coconut, is the traditional ladle. Not for shruk, but for, at least in Bengal, I used to see they use that for serving dal. Is that in the villages? No. In Bengal, they say, make a coconut, put a stick on it, and use it for serving dal. it has, that's for pouring the ghee, it has elephant's lips, and its specific size, it may, there are different sizes, may have some design of a cow's face or a lion's face. So this is manifest from the tongue of Varaha. This is generally used for the Purna Ahuti, the final oblation. The Shruva is a, that's, the Purna Ahuti is done with the Shruk, and the Shrav is used for the general Ahutis, the offerings of ghee. Now, as mentioned here in this verse from Bhagavatam, or it's alluded to, It's split into two parts, representing the sun and the moon, which are called Ira and Pingala, and that represents the two nostrils, the breathing from the two nostrils, because this is manifest from the nostrils of Yajna Varaha. Vishnu Purana also describes that Varaha represents Yajna as the upholder of the earth, because the earth is Punya Bhumi, and Punya is all the acts of Punya, they are contained in Yajna. All the Punya karmas, they culminate in performing Yajnas. And that is to be done, can be done elsewhere, but particularly on the earth. So his feet are the Vedas, his tusks are the sacrificial stakes, are his tusks. Sacrificial stake means you put a stick into the earth and then you tie the animals up. So that's his tusks, the animals which are to be sacrificed. His teeth are the offerings, his mouth is the altar, his tongue is the sacrificial fire, the hair on his head is the sacrificial grass, that's kusha grass. His eyes are the day and the night, the coarse hair on the body of Varaha. The body, the hair on a pig is very tough. That's why the pig's hair is to be made into a brush, which is used for brushing the deity. After the deity is, all different powders are put on before the Abhisheka. That's to be taken out with a brush made from pig's hairs, boar's hairs. It's very tough. So that hair represents sexual prowess. His head represents the seat of the Yajnahotri, the priest. His mane, the hair, all the hairs together, represents the hymns of the Vedas, the Vedic chandas. It's the same thing as is said in the Bhagavatam. His nostrils are for ablations. His joints represent the various ceremonies. His ears are said to indicate the nitya karmas, and here it says voluntary and obligatory. So obligatory would be nitya karma, and voluntary would be kamya karma. But I guess it's the two main ones are nitya and naimitic karmas. And number three is kamya karma. So these two ears. different Puranas also mention that the Kusha is the bodily hair of Yajna Varaha. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, we also find a verse taken from the Puranas in which it's said that there are nine, that Krishna himself expands himself into nine forms as the nine protectors of Dwaraka. Chatvaru Vasudevadya Narayana Nrsingha Kau Hayagriva Mahakroro Brahma Chaiti Navoditaha. So the nine personalities are the Chaturvyuha, which means Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. They're also on the outside of Dwarka, as well as being inside. Narayana, Nrsingha, Hayagriva, Varaha. Varaha is here called Mahakura, which means a big Maha, and Brahma. Here Brahma doesn't mean material Brahma, expansion of Vishnu. Among the Leela avatars also, Varaha is mentioned. They appear in each day of Brahma. And I'm reading from the purport, Prabhupada's purport here, to that verse. Among the Prabhava incarnations, Kurma Matsya Narayana Varaha Hayagriva. No, they're counted among the Vaibhava avatar. Vaibhava form means that their form is a bit different from the original form. It's well known that in Chaitanya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the form of Varaha and appeared before Murari Gupta. He took a pot of earth, held it up on his tusk. He took the form of... Also, because in Navadweep Dham, all the important holy places are there. The whole of Navadweep Dham is non-different from Vrindavan, and all the holy places are there. So if you want to visit all the holy places in the universe, you can go to Navadweep. They're all there. So it's described in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who by his divine vision revealed many of the holy places. It says that in Navadweep Bhavataranga, he says that across the Ganga from Panchaveni is the island called Koladweep. One of the nine islands is Koladweep. So Kola means Varaha, means Varaha Dev. That's the place where the Lord appeared to Murari Gupta in the form of a boar. So this place is Varaha Kshetra. And it's said there that this place is rarely attained even by the demigods. It's a purely spiritual realm pervaded with transcendental bliss. In the Navadweep Dhamma Mahatmya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a companion to Navadweep Bhavataranga, he about Koladweep, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through the mouth of Nityananda, relates one story from Satya Yoga. A young brahmana named Vasudeva was always engaged in the service of Varaha. As he worshipped the form of Varaha, he always appeared to the Lord in these words: "Please be merciful and appear before me. Let my eyes and life be successful." Saying this, he cried and rolled on the ground, "If my Lord does not show himself, my life is worthless." Shortly thereafter, the merciful Lord showed himself to Vasudeva in the form of a boar. His body was decorated with ornaments, and his feet, neck, nostrils, face, and eyes were all attractive. His body was as tall as a mountain. Seeing him, the brahmana thought himself very fortunate. He fell on the earth and offered his respects. Crying and confused in ecstasy, he rolled on the ground. Seeing the brahmana's devotion, Varaha sweetly said, "O Vasudeva, as you are my devotee, I am satisfied by your worship. When Kali Yuga comes, I will display my pastimes here in Navadweep Dham. Hear my words. In the three worlds, there is no comparison to Navadweep. Though it is hidden now, it is my very dear abode. The scriptures confirm that all holy places, such as Brahmavarta, reside here. The place where Brahma performed a sacrifice and I appeared to kill Hiranyaksha with my tusks, that holy place is present here where I have appeared now. By serving Navadweep, all the tirthas are served, and by living in Navadweep, the fruit of living at all other tirthas is attained. You are fortunate to serve me in Navadweep. When Gauranga advents, you will be born here again. You will see the Mahasankirtan and the astounding form of Gauranga." Yeah, the form of Mahavaraha is astounding. So big he can pick up the earth. But even more astounding is the form of Gauranga. Although they're non-different. After speaking these words, Varaha disappeared, and the Vipra researched the meaning of the Lord's words. Being a great pundit, Vasudeva scrutinized the scriptures and thus clearly understood that during the reign of Vaivasvata Manu, at the beginning of Kali Yuga, Lord Gauranga would manifest his pastimes at Nadia, The sages kept this secret, but they indicated by hints so that intelligent men could understand. After the Lord manifested his pastimes on earth, the scriptural evidences would also become clear. Thus the Brahmana received the hint about the secret truths of Gaura. In great bliss, the Brahmana performed Sankirtan. He constantly sang the name of Gaura within his mind. After seeing the mountainous form of Varaha, Vasudeva carefully decided to call this place Koladweep Parvat. Kola means a boar, but it is now known as Parvat. The devotees know that this is Giri Govardhan of Vrindavan. Mahavaraha Devaki Jai. Hare Krishna. So I hope you're all happy hearing about Varaha Dev. Shrinu Sukhadam Shubhadam Bhavasa. In this world there's nothing to be happy about, especially in Bangalore. I've traveled all over India, and as far as I can see, in Bangalore, it's the most miserable city in the whole of India. I used to think Delhi was, but I think Bangalore has come up from behind. It was a nice place, but they decided we also have to be demons like in Delhi and Bombay. And they've gone ahead. So they're the most miserable people. Not the devotees. The devotees are happy remembering Krishna. Shri Jaya Deva. What is that? Shri Jaya Deva Kavarida Mudita Mudaram Shinu Sukadam Shubadam Bhavasara Keshava Dritta Dasha Vidarupa Jai Jagadisha. So remembering the pastimes of the Lord in his 10 forms, we can be very happy in this and very auspicious in this otherwise miserable and inauspicious material world. You might say, why do you want to remember the Dash Avatar? Why not Radha and Krishna? Well, this Dash Avatar Stotram comes at the beginning of the description of the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the Gita Govinda of Jayadeva Goswami. So, Vasati Dashana Shikhare Dharani Tava Lagna Shashani Kalanka Kaleva Nimagna Keshava Dhrita Shukara Rupa, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare. Shri Varaha Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah, if you like, you can go. If you don't, you can stay here. But I'm going to go, so. Samapanam. For now, Adya Sama. Hare Krishna, thank you all for coming. Books of mine are here. Prabhupada told me to write books. Some people say I shouldn't do, but Prabhupada told me to do so, so I'll take what he says rather than what other people say. Huh? Okay. If you don't know, read it in your Bhagavatam. If you don't have a set of Bhagavatam, get a set of Bhagavatam. If you don't have a TV in your home, people think you're completely mad, isn't it? You're strange. So, devotees, we don't keep TVs in our homes. But if you don't have a set of Bhagavatam in your home, you're mad. You're strange. If you don't have a TV in your home, people think that you're not really a proper civilized human being. If you don't have a set of Bhagavatam in your home, you're definitely not a civilized human being. Everyone who thinks, I want to follow Srila Prabhupada, I want to be a devotee. You have to have Bhagavatam in your home. It's one of Prabhupada's stated desires that all his devotees, all his disciples, they shall have Bhagavatam in their home. So if you want to have bliss, throw out the TV
and bring a Bhagavatam.
Maharaj, he is Sambashiva. He is taking a Tamil Bhagavatam sit
today. Okay, very good.
Maharaj has his.
You can distribute. Here. You can distribute thousands of sets of Bhagavatam here in Bangalore. You should do 1 lakh every year. When you go door to door on book distribution, what I suggest, when you go in, you just show Bhagavatam. Don't show anything else. People have money, they can buy it. If they don't take a Bhagavatam, then give them a small set of 10 books. Gita, Krishna book, Bhagavatam first canto, Science of Self-Realization. Beginner's Guide is also very good. And if they don't take that, then at least they'll give them a Gita. And if they don't take that, just take a donation and give them something. If they don't take anything, give them a small book anyway. And say, you're very unfortunate, you don't want to take anything. But take something anyway. And then they'll probably, if you insist that they take something, they'll give you something. And nowadays people, they just, if you just ask for a donation, they give 500 rupees because that's the price of what, a 5 kilo packet of dal or something like that. So you can give them some books. Bangalore should be the book distribution champion. Bombay and Delhi are way up there. Distribute sets, Bhagavatam sets.